This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport, powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, Georgie, check for Dadsy. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery free in terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Leicester City have a penalty kick in the 6 minutes of injury time.
Knockout takes. Almunia saves. Knockout follows in. Almunia saves again.
And now Watford are on the counter-attack.
Forestieri.
Listening to the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes podcast. I'm Justin.
I'm Carl.
And I'm Peter.
And joining us once again from the Inside the Orange, or is it the Inside the Yellow podcast, is Rich Stevens. How are you?
Oh, hello. Yeah, great to be back on here. Yeah, returning with a slightly different name, is Justin, that's been organised by someone at the club. I'll leave it there at the moment.
I see.
Who would that be? Never heard of him. Anyway, there we go. So you may well remember Rich from previous episodes, such as obviously when we talked about his previous walk, which we will get on to talking about. We want to talk about the walk that is up and coming. It is also Autism Awareness Month, and it's a good opportunity to talk about a lot of things that I think a lot of people don't necessarily appreciate. And yes, it is absolutely connected to Watford. Rich is a Watford supporter who walked from Leicester City's Bowl is what you put crisps in, so I always presume it's a bowl, to, of course, Vicarage Road, only for him to turn up at Watford and the team not to the other season. Boo hiss, but a lot of good work there. We'll cover that. But also, of course, we have the sensory room, which is, I think, something that a lot of people know about because they can see where it is. But I wonder how many people know what it is, because it's a prime piece of real estate in almost, what's the phrase, hospitality territory that the club give up for this and associated causes. I think it's really important that we talk about that, plus various other bits. So, Rich, sir, welcome, welcome, welcome. Of course, the last time we spoke to you was on the World versus Carl, and we came on and asked you various questions about 1920s Watford, which didn't really help anybody, I grant you that, but we enjoyed it nonetheless. Anyway, sir, tell us, you walked for literally, it was 3 days pretty much straight previously, wasn't it? Tell us a little bit about how that went from your end, because we haven't caught up with you since about it.
The last time we spoke before, obviously, World versus Carl was actually when I got to the bunker on the day of the walk finishing. And
you look very tired, if you don't mind me saying.
I was tired. Do you know what? It was an amazing adventure. And I look back now and I think, I almost don't believe it's real. I almost believe I've dreamt that and it didn't happen. But it was an amazing thing. The King Power Stadium, which it's now called.
King Power.
How old are you, Peter? Oh, I don't know. I'm sorry.
He was calling it Filbert Street earlier.
That's going back a little bit, isn't it?
I remember when Richard III was playing at left back, so that's fine.
niche, very good.
But yeah, it was an amazing weekend. We loved it. Like, it was something that made it special. It was incredible. It was great. And I think the reason what we're doing this year was football just has got a place with these things, these fundraisers. Football really gets into people's hearts with this. And it made us think that this is what we've got to do. But I was exhausted. I was tired. I was laid off of my feet for about 3 days. My partner in crime went back to work the next day with nothing. I was laid up with tendonitis and blisters and broken everything for about 3 weeks. Maybe I'm just the diva of the two of us. I don't know.
he's missed an opportunity for some obvious sympathy and tea, I would suggest. That's a schoolboy error. Shouldn't be doing that. Well, that was a heck of a walk. We recall it and we covered it, and we will be putting out stuff for Rich's walk coming up. So just so everybody can see it now, you're going, let's deal with this straight away, because the first thing we want to do is get to push this a bit, because you are walking again for this fantastic cause, which I'd love you to tell us a little bit more about, but the structure of this is slightly different. Tell us about what's coming and the reason why, you know, for 3 days you're going to be sitting down a little bit later on in the year.
Yeah, so it's keeping it on the football standard. And as I said, it really did a lot last year. I did a monthly walk last year and it was good, but it just felt something was missing. But this year we thought we wanted to go bigger. And my friend Goddo, who's going to be walking with me, who did the walk from Leicester, we did our own separate things last year. And we felt that we both did okay, but we wanted to get back together. And we thought, when you get groups back together, you have to do something big. And we thought, what should we do? So we've decided to do, like all great bands, a stadium tour. So we did two stadiums last time. We are going Rolling Stones-esque. We're going 12 stadiums. We're having how often can you say you can be live at Wembley? The Inside the Yellow podcast will be live at Wembley this year, as well as, would you like the stadiums? Would you like to know where we're going now?
You take us through the route, because we're going to be asking the good burgers who have responded, and they know that we go on about various causes and various things, some of them worthy, others just us nobbing about for no apparent reason. This is one of the par excellence that we're looking for. So we're going to be looking for your help here, people, ideally. So yeah, take us through the stadium walk.
Yeah, we will. So again, it's for Anna Kennedy Online, and we'll talk a bit more about what they do, because they are connected to the club. And that connection starts with, we're starting where we finished the last one. We're starting at GT. We're starting on the Yellow Brick Road. We thought, what a great place to start. And we are going to be walking down to Boreham Wood. So we're going to walk down. Ooh. I think that's 7 miles. I think it's to Boreham Wood.
Of course, Watford connection and podcast connection, because we spoke to Mr. Lloyd Doyley the other day, assistant manager at Boreham Wood. Everybody, cool, this is good. So you're going from Boreham Wood, and then where are you going on to after that?
Yeah, we go to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. So again, look, we can look at so many links here. We've got Aurelio Gomez, great goalkeeper for Watford a few years back, links to Tottenham and Watford. We go then on to Arsenal. So we then go across to Arsenal, then we go down to Leighton Orient, then we'll go to West Ham, which are quite close together. Yep. Then we walk into Central London, because that's the kind of end of day one. So West Ham will be the last stadium.
That's day one. Is it?
Yeah.
How many miles is that in day one?
That'll be about 30, between 33 and 35. I think we're stopping around Shoreditch. So I think that's 35. That will be the furthest I've ever walked in a single day. We then get up the next morning when we think it's all over and we think we need to carry on again. So we then go to Stamford Bridge. So we're going to walk across London to Stamford Bridge, over to Fulham. So again, for there, we're then going to go up to QPR. We're going to then go across to Brentford, when they're going to go back towards Wembley. Then we're going to go to Barnet, which is now in Edgware, the stadium. It's not in Barnet anymore. So a lot of people have been confused by that. So, well, why didn't you do Barnet with Boreham Wood? But no, unfortunately, the stadium is not in Barnet. And then we'll be finishing back at the Vic at GT once again. So it starts with Watford. It ends with Watford again. As a proud Watford supporter, what else could I do than have it from the club? And this time, it's a loop. So we thought, 65 miles, I think it works out as. In 2 days,
Okay. Are you, once you're at each stadium, are you stopping off to do anything at each stadium, or are you literally staying long enough for a photo and then moving on? Or
we're working with stadium, because we've got to be very conscious. The football season will have started for everyone. I think, I'm not sure mathematically at this point if we could still get into the playoffs, but I presume we start Championship. But obviously, is it mathematically impossible now? Well, unfortunately, I haven't done the maths. I've just been focusing one game after another for Tom.
Look at the form. Forget the maths.
No, that's fine. So Championship games will be playing at that time. So we can't sit here and say we're going to try for that, but we are working with the clubs to have something to do with the club. So we will do a live from outside the stadium. We are working with the club. If they will allow us in, we'll go in. If not, we're going to try and work with them around the summer to have a little tour around, just to say it's more about them helping and putting their name to it. We're not expecting laps of honour around the pitch. We're just two guys going for a walk at the end of the day, but we want it to be as open to every club. And what's been great is Watford have been really welcoming, and I think we're starting and ending from the right place, especially with that.
Well, one of the facts, or one of the pieces about this, which is fantastic, is you're talking about going back to the football, because football has always had this sense of community and supporting itself. And obviously, no more so than Watford. Every team will have elements that they do and they will look to support. And being able to just hook into that and being included, a lot of those clubs will be really delighted that they're part of this, because this is something that's going great. But more importantly, also, autism is out there in the community. And there is, as it's awareness, this month, that's one thing, but it is also something that, with increased levels of understanding and more increase of diagnosis of this. People are getting better understanding. They're being able to better help people and families who are dealing with autism in the family. And in a way, also trying to demystify it also takes a fear out of it as well, doesn't it? Tell us a little bit about why you're doing this and what's on, and a little bit about Anna Kennedy Online.
As I said, I met Anna back in 2021. I was doing the Inside the Orange podcast, which we subsequently we've moved away from the podcasting. We are going to bring it back, but we've just had so much time doing this and enjoyed doing this side. So Inside the Orange has technically been more about the fundraising. And what I loved about Anna was just the heart of what she did. We've worked with the National Autistic Society, and everyone around the autism community wants to try and support others and help others. But Anna's had such a great heart. And I remember when I was setting up the Leicester walk, and I thought I'd been really clever and gone, oh, I'm going to do a stadium walk. And Anna, I'm going to go and speak to Watford. And she went, oh, we're already working with Watford. We've got, we do stuff with Watford already. I had no knowledge of this. I had no understanding of this as well. I thought I was giving them something. And actually, we worked with Dave Messenger last time, and Joe Wiggins, who I have to give Joe a massive shout out. She's a Watford season ticket holder. She does so much for Anna's charity with Watford. She's such a driving force with this. She's been amazing. But yeah, working with Dave, she's in constant communication with Dave Messenger, and a lot of the stuff has been built. And I didn't realize that they'd already done stuff with the sensory room. The sensory room is, yeah, as I say, it's a fantastic place for people to watch football. Now, I'm an autistic person. So again, I've disclosed that since the last walk, and I'm happy to do that. I'm okay with loud noises. I love the thrill of a football stadium. My son doesn't, but if he's got reduced, it's the loud noise. It's a sudden cheer. Things happen quickly in football. It's loud. There's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of feeling in around the sport. But it's also nice that the sensory rooms and things exist. So Anna's done a lot of work with working with them and introducing people into football. And I think the most important thing with that is bringing it back to how I fell in love with this club. I fell in love with this club under Graham Taylor. Graham Taylor was all about the community, all about getting people to watch football. Wasn't though? I think the book that's come out recently, John Preston, the Watford Forever book, talks about the fact that he had to go out into the community if he wanted people to come to the football club. And that's what, this is why I think the club and obviously Anna's work is amazing. Why I think Anna's charity in particular is it's not just about putting doom and gloom and saying what's wrong with autism and things like that. It's actually celebrating people. It's actually making a positive change and saying, look, there's value in so much and value in so many of these people. But actually, all we need is slight adjustments to let other people enjoy. And why shouldn't someone with autism enjoy football? Why should they not? It's everyone's game. That's the idea, isn't it? So if some things need slightly adjusted, so that's why I think the club and Anna is just such a great thing, and why we continue to come back to Watford to do it.
I think it's something that we're all proud of, but I think a lot of people don't really know enough about it, to be quite frank with you, because it's something that happens, but we don't get the understanding and the appreciation. So something like Autism Month is an opportunity to go out and just, if you haven't already, just find out a little bit about it, because the sensory side of it, it's not just, you know, an audio sensory element for some people, isn't it? For some people, it's tastes, elements of surprise, any number of different things that can be afforded. But to be able to make those sensory adjustments in that particular instance is a massive thing to allow people to be able to come in and enjoy football. Only the other week, there were a couple of lads, sorry, I didn't get their names, who were mascots on the pitch or brought out. And they had sensory headphones on, but they weren't in the sensory room. That was where their journey for Watford had started. But it went all the way onto the pitch. Good lads. Well done. Well done. But they just got that to block out the, or reduce, shall we say, the audio sensation. But to make sure that when people turn around and say, well, football is for everyone, this is an absolute instance where it can be done to everybody's benefit. Absolutely superb stuff. Yeah. One of the things we saw the other day was Anna posted up, it was last month, about taking some families, obviously not on match day, for literally a tour of the stadium, including, I imagine, the sensory room and everything that was going on there. Presumably, again, that's to try to familiarise that this facility is available and what's going on without, obviously, there being the massive sensory overload of a crowd, I'm presuming. What does that feel from a family who deal with autism? autism. How do you feel that that would have been received by those guys, and could it be received furthermore?
Yeah, and I think you've made a fantastic point a minute ago about the two lads that were mascots. And it starts from things like the sensory room visits, getting people comfortable with the stadium. If you have a negative experience as an autistic person, it can put you off anything for life. It will terrify you. So to have those things, those little baby steps and those little kind of encouragements, working through little bits and pieces and having positive associations with things that you think, oh, this was really good when I went there. That's really important. And you have to be the charity does fantastic work to have this, but it's also, the club is also progressive in that happening. They were one of the first clubs with the sensory room. These things happen. And I know it's difficult when results happen and we get lost in that, but like I said, football is for everyone. I've been able to take my son a few times to the game. He's a massive Elton John fan, so he's only ever going to support one club. Honestly, he keeps asking me when am I going to meet Elton, unfortunately. But it's that positive association that you want to continue. So it only makes me proud that's going to happen. And supporters that will take their families in years to come. You've got to think it's not just the people, those families, that family of four. Their wider families, their aunts and uncles, their grandparents. That's all a positive association that these people then have. And again, sharing it. And you guys were fantastic. You shared it. You saw the value in it as well when it came out and shared about the day that the charity had done to do that. They are planning more. They'll continue to do that. And that's the importance of, as I say, having a club doing this. And again, I go back to the fact we go into 12 other clubs and ask you questions. Clubs can just quickly close the door and say, sorry, it's not on us to do this. Okay. So there's got to be that level of respect, and there's got to be a real kind of celebration that actually this club is keeping GT's values. And that's what, as I say, I keep coming back to. And I know I'll briefly come on to this now. I know you're probably going to ask me about it, but obviously working with Lufa. And I remember Lufa helped us walk in the last mile when we did the Leicester walk. And I remember we got up to the statue and he said, the boss would have loved this. The boss would have been all over this. And for a Watford fan to hear that is massive, to think that happens. And like I say, on the pitch, it doesn't always happen. We have to go through change. Things have to happen. I don't want to get drawn too much into that. But to have Lufa, such a pillar of the club, our greatest ever player, goal scorer, to have him say that, wow, that just speaks so much to me. And that's why we want to continue to support it. Although he has asked me to change the name of Inside the Orange podcast to Inside the Yellow. That's come from Lufa. And I thought, if it's good enough for Coldplay, thank you very much. If it's good enough for Coldplay to be asked by a certain club because we don't like the colour yellow somewhere from down the M1, why should I not change my name to Inside the Yellow? Because that's if I'm starting at Watford, I've got to be yellow.
No, it's all just a bit of fun, quite rightly too. We've got no problems with that. We've been told off for playing around with saying such things, never mind. So agreed. If you look back to Graham Taylor's first era, the family enclosure, he ran the marathon to raise money for that, for this whole idea of doing something for something that is benefiting people in the community. And in this case, and with Anna Kennedy, it's not obviously just restricted to Watford, but boy oh boy, with all of the diagnoses and the growing awareness, people are now understanding a little bit about themselves. Now I've got some friends, and basically the dad knew something was wrong, knew something wasn't right, as far as he, and that was his terminology, not mine. And when he was finally diagnosed as autistic, he went, it wasn't wrong. It was just different. And the weight that literally, I'm not one to talk about weight falling off, his mental weight that fell off of him was immense. And it was like, wow, I now understand why this was the case. And it was very similar for a friend of mine who also had dyslexia and dyspraxia. All the time growing up in the 80s, not quite knowing what was amiss, what was misaligned, suddenly understanding it. And that suddenly, and this is what I mean about taking away the fear. Once that diagnosis happens, there are support networks. There is a greater understanding. There is an opportunity to learn more, see more, and understand a little bit, which is fantastic. So as I say, it permeates through the community completely. Where I live now, they're no longer here. They moved out about 5 years ago. But our next door neighbours, the son, Luke, lovely lad, had Asperger's syndrome. And so we would have interactions with Luke. He lived in Stevenage. And we'd come over and we would have, it was a regularity of a kind of a repeated pattern of conversation about various things, because he was comfortable with that and you'd have that. But there was also absolute massive amount of gallows humour. So there was one day where Luke would quite often come up to the fence and my wife would be sitting in the garden and he just looked over and with absolutely no filter said, "So Lisa, do you ever think you're going to sort your garden out?" And I just absolutely corpsed, and my wife was absolutely, but it was brilliant. It was fantastic. This is about helping families understand and deal with it, isn't it? It's not just about the person who has it, but it's also about helping the people around, one, understand, but secondly, also deal with the coping mechanisms that will help them have a better family and a better life.
100%. And it's really important for the family. I think the person that's the person who has autism, that's how they see life. They don't see life any different. But again, it'll be that parent that's worried about someone having a bit of overwhelm and being sensory overwhelmed, and that then becomes a screaming, or even the child or adult has got, make sounds that can be loud screams that someone thinks is in a bad place, but actually happy. It's about the other people around. And I think that's the importance of the education side of it. And you use a good word, fear. And I think that's where we get a lot of the kind of misunderstandings comes from, people not wanting to ask the questions, not wanting to say, "Can you tell me more about it?" There's a very big difference. And unfortunately, there's some people in the autistic community get trolled heavily online, and that is absolutely no go. But if you want to find out more about it, who better to ask than the people who either have autism or family member has got it, to understand more. If people want to know and want to come from a place of kindness and want to know how to help or how to support in a situation, who better to ask? But I think we've got to get better also as a community that we are open. I've always said to people, I don't mind about people terminology and saying things the right way and making mistakes, as long as it comes from the right place. You can tell the difference between someone who wants to be hurtful to someone who just wants to learn more, but may unfortunately use the wrong terminology. So it's very important from both sides to understand and get that fear the right way. Who doesn't want to go to, as I say, if we take it back to football, who doesn't want to take their family to football and enjoy a game? And why would you want to deny someone who enjoys something slightly different? But why would you want to deny that person that same right?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Superb stuff. Superb stuff. In terms of kind of people with or families with autism, and I'm leaning on my next door neighbour again, there was also the thing that went on then, and bearing in mind that this was many years ago, prior to the diagnosis of what this was, Luke's sibling had a real difficulty dealing with it more than anybody else in the family, because a parent will naturally be a kind of a caregiver, or it was with these two lovely people. But the sister found it really hard until it was diagnosed and understood, and then allowed it to understand and deal. Is the sibling and the family pressure of dealing with this something that Anna kind of wraps around from an education point of view?
I think the fantastic thing about Anna Kennedy Online that I've been around is it is families. They do certain events, things like Autism's Got Talent, where families are invited. The Autism Hero was the families, and the people around with these people are invited. It is about getting that understanding. Now, siblings, again, my youngest son is diagnosed autistic. My oldest son is neurotypical.
Right.
Now, the best ally for a lot of people, and again, it does change circumstances, absolutely what you've said, I don't disagree with it at all, but sometimes the best ally for an autistic person is their brother or sister, that they've actually got their back. And again, it might come from a place of understanding. My youngest was diagnosed at two, so pretty much all my oldest son's conscious life, he's been aware of this, that Jake might need something different or might need to different things. But I've seen so many different families where that sibling is the kind of just the best person, and probably the best people to understand it, because they've seen it in their probably closest relation, brothers and sisters growing up. You are the closest probably to that person. But yeah, as I say, what I love with the charity is I've met some fantastic families, and you don't just meet Autism's Got Talent, you just don't meet one person, you meet who is with them. And absolutely, and there's a clothing company that we all kind of work with called Born Anxious. It's the stuff I wear for the walks. They design the kits that we wore for the walk, and it's things like Autism Army. If you're in it, you work together to make it right, and you're allies, you know what each other's battles. They'll be different, don't get me wrong, everyone's battle with this, when I say battle, but everyone's journey with this is different. Everyone knows we might all be facing some similarities that we can then say, we know how that feels. And that's probably where the, again, why the charity again is, let's say, fantastic.
If possible, because obviously yeah, prior to this, you try to find out a little bit more, but some of the things that kind of the phrases that come out, which are things such as, for example, the non-speaking, the kind of, that one phrase I came across, which was like a PEX board, a PCS. So it was like a something that was pictorial in order for people to communicate in and understand things in different ways. Are there things that either people can do, or that, for example, I don't know, supermarket chains or places of where people go, that people could do to just help those people who are kind of more neurodiverse than, as you say, neurotypical?
Yeah, it's, again, a great question. I think it's important, again, if you see a family out and you see a behaviour, and again, you have to remember some autistic adults still live with their parents. And again, that behaviour, when you're looking at it, it might not seem like it's right. You're watching an adult maybe scream in the face of another adult. As a human being, you almost want to think, well, I need to, but you need to probably, in that scenario, maybe take a step back and just see. And again, there's no problem asking for help, but or asking the person, do you need any assistance? Yep. But calmly going up to that person, do you need any support? They probably just said, no, it's fine, and let you move on your way. There's no harm in that, but don't naturally assume it's going to be someone doing something wrong. Supermarkets, so I believe places like Tesco do an hour where the lights are dimmed slightly, so it's less bright lights. Okay. There's not music playing, like sometimes the bigger supermarkets have something playing over the tannoy, a bit of music, and they reduce that. There's different bits and pieces, so they're sensory hours and things like that. It's very difficult to say, again, there's not one way you can fix it, but it's nice to see, as I say, as we talk about the sensory room, as we talk about, say, the supermarkets, with it's an understanding. Even if you go up the town centre, city centres, you've got toilets now, accessible toilets, which do say on a lot of them now, not every disability is visible. So some adults might need to be took to the toilet by someone else. And you might just see two adults walking into a disabled toilet. Well, what are you doing in there? It's about taking that little breath sometimes and just thinking, well, actually, what do I know about this situation before I ask a question? But again, as I say, if anything comes from kindness, if anything comes from the right ways, it's the right way to do it. There's no harm in asking someone, are you okay? Do you need any support? But again, don't be offended if they say, no, I'm fine. I would like to be left alone. Absolutely fine.
Wonderful stuff. Is there a good resource where people could go to maybe have a look if they're looking to maybe increase their awareness of what's going on? Obviously, we're sitting here chatting, and a lovely kind of reduction in fear and an increase in kindness is a very nice thing to say straight away. But again, just to enhance the fact that people have a better appreciation and understanding and can deal with these things and hopefully help a little bit better. Any resources that you might recommend?
Obviously, again, I'll give a huge plug to the charity. So Anna Kennedy Online, they are which you can find, they are a fantastic charity. They're a small charity, but they do a lot with a lot. They partner with some fantastic people as well. They'll always ask questions on. You've got places, the National Autistic Society is another one that people can go to. I'd probably recommend those two as charities to go to. But again, it's just asking a question. Feel free to, again, I'm trying to open up for my own self. Feel free to ask me questions. Feel free to look at what we do. And again, feel that it's from a safe place that you can ask questions and make mistakes. You can make mistakes and get things wrong with us because, as I said, if it comes from the right place, we will help. So Anna Kennedy Online, the National Autistic Society, again, two companies, two charities we've worked with before. So yeah,
we will add in links so everybody can go over there and take a look, which is fantastic. Let's just round then back before probably inevitably moaning about Watford as we do the walk. Where can people go have you got a GoFundMe set up and that sort of stuff? Where can we get to people to come and support you?
Yeah, so there is a GoFundMe page set up. It's available across all my social medias. I'm Inside the Orange on, unfortunately, Lufa, I have to apologize to you right now. Unfortunately, I cannot change my handles because that would mean completely changing every part of my social media. So the handles do have to remain Orange, unfortunately, but it is Inside the Orange on Instagram. There's a Facebook page. There is Orange Watts on Twitter. There's links in every bio to the GoFundMe. Again, it's available on a lot of my Instagram stories, etc. And yeah, as I say, yeah, it's available through my website as well, which is insidetheorange.co.uk. So again, I'll share the links for you guys to be able to share to your fantastic listeners. So yeah.
Absolutely. We will get that out to you. We will get that out to you.
Right. There we go. Okay. So look, listen, nothing but the best of luck to you, mate. Rather than me, because I get blisters walking for more than about 20 minutes. So good luck to you. We will catch up with you at the, obviously before this, but you're coming to Vicarage Road what day, finishing your walk?
So I think the start and the end is the 24th is the start, 25th is the finish. I believe Luke has been saying about a event that's being held around that time that he's trying to move to the club. So I think August. Sorry, yeah. Let me just pretend that I forgot what's that. Yeah. Just tell people when it actually is, doesn't it?
Yeah. Okay. So the 25th of August, you're coming back to Vicarage Road. Is there a match? Yes. We won't know if there's a match on that day, will be, because the
picture's not released yet.
No. Not released yet. But so it could be a home game. You could be lucky. It could be a home game. I can all get down the bunker and go, all right, how are you? How's your feet? Like we did last time.
And what time are you starting off in the morning? Because I know you're going to be walking 33 odd miles on that first day. What time do you start and what day, what time are you expecting to finish?
Yeah, so we're seeing what's going to happen in start time. I wouldn't want to start any later than 9 o'clock a.m. Right. If we see, I don't think we're going to be playing on a Sunday. So the 25th is a Sunday.
Seen a problem with this, of course, not only that, but was it 4 miles an hour we walk out or something like that? I'm just trying to do the maths here. It's about 11 hours, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's about 11 hours.
Yeah, before breaks, yeah. Yeah. So I'm not going to be difficult to say to the club, oh, by the way, you need to be there at 6 a.m. If the club can do something on the Saturday morning, if we could do something about 9 a.m. potentially, but if not on the Sunday, yeah, I'm trying for late afternoon, early evening finish. But yeah, but I believe, as I say, I'm not sure. There's still some things that are being worked out, but we'll work with the clubs. Also, as well, we don't want to start too early the second day as well, yeah, because we'd be turning up at Stamford Bridge like before dawn. Like, you don't really want to be, but there's no one else around.
I'm just thinking, that's Bank Holiday Monday, isn't it? That's the summer bank holiday, I would imagine. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah. So.
Nice.
And I do have to say, I don't know if it could be added in, but Cole did say to me last time on his, and it's on the YouTube for your show.
Yeah.
When I was walking, I said he could do the next one with me. And he said, yeah, all right. And I said, you've agreed to it on video. He's very noticeable by his absence today, I'm going to say, obviously. Yes. However, he isn't here to argue it, but I'm saying that's what he said. So technically, Carlos has got to join me.
Top quality of abuse of your position there, Rich. Well done, sir. Well done indeed.
Yeah. How much would you like him to do? All of it or just some of it? What would you like him to do? Say all of it.
All of it on the back of the horse, isn't it? Is that what he normally does? Isn't he riding into town on the back of the horse?
but what he's doing now, of course, is he's booking holiday, pretending that he booked it 3 or 4 weeks ago. Oh, it's very sad. I'm in Tenerife then. Sorry about that. But we'll certainly play it to him and let him know that he's up for that. And he did say. Yeah, well, he says these things. And to be fair, he does normally follow through if he says something. So
I don't want to discuss Carl following through. That's just a horrible and a very bad image.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you mean now. Yeah, okay, never mind.
So your preparation for this, then, how many miles are you, what are you doing? Are you like walking in the evenings for a couple of hours or?
Yeah, to be fair to start, we are. So currently overweight from my last walk. So I literally finished mine in December and then decided that I wasn't doing anything else and then just have piled on loads of weight. So I've then gone, I can't actually do the walk that I used to be able to. So first things first is the nightly walks to shift the old bit of stomach away to try and get the steps in. So by the end of this month, I want to be doing consistent fives, tens, and then we'll work up through. We're going to try and do some other little stadium bits as well. Northampton Town to Milton Keynes Dons is about 22 miles. So we might try and just add in a few extra little bits and pieces, football club related. I did look Watford, was it St Albans, City, Hemel, all the way down to Leighton Town is about 31. So we might just try and do a little bit of bits here and there with other clubs as well. So just on the road to, yeah, well, the main one.
This is what you're going to need to have. You're going to need to have get your club added to the map of stadiums that you visited. It will become a badge and indeed map of honour, quite rightly so. Well, look, Rich,
yeah,
Brilliant stuff as always. Fantastic to hear all the work that's carried out. As I said, it's Autism Awareness Month, so do go out and find out. You listen to us yabbering on about it, as we do, but there's some great resources there just to kind of demystify it from an external point of view. And what I love was there, exactly as you say, it's where the intent comes from. Just go in and be kind, and hopefully a little bit of kindness can go a long way. Brilliant stuff. So congratulations on last time, and good luck this one coming up.
Marvellous. Right. Well, Rich, we will be following you, obviously, avidly, and we'll try and put out as much as we can of your walk and your progress, etc., as you go along. So it's been great speaking to you once again. Best of luck with everything that you do, and thanks for talking to us on Do Not Scratch Your Eyes.
Thank you.
Brilliant stuff.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. It's the 90th minute. All your mates around, you've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.